Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
The Denver Broncos dropped to 2-4 on the season after a 43-16 home loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is your Denver Broncos postgame report from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos, and make sure you hit that subscribe button for daily exclusive Denver Broncos content on your favorite podcast provider, your team, every day here on the Locked On NFL Network. Today's episode of the show, our postgame report, is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi is made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. And ladies and gentlemen, on today's postgame report, we got to break it down from every single angle. The Broncos 43-16 loss at home in the snow in Denver. The field conditions didn't really impact, I think, either team's game plan or preparation coming into this matchup. And we got to break it down for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to take a look at the Broncos offense, defense, and special teams. What stood out? What needs to be improved? What needs to be fixed? Because the Broncos schedule doesn't get any easier from this point forward. The Los Angeles Chargers are coming to town, and they've got a quarterback that's been dealing and diming as well in the AFC West. So we take a look at what the Broncos did really well, and also we hear from Broncos fans and their reactions and thoughts from the Broncos loss on Sunday. A lot of overreaction, a lot of emotion from Broncos fans, but we got to break it down into the vacuum of what is, what was, and after going back and watching the film, we have a more clear understanding about what really went down and what really went wrong for this Broncos team, and how they can fix it, what's fixable and what's not. We break it down here on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. So with that said, let's kick things off. All the action here. Broncos lose 43-16 at home, dropped to 2-4 on the season. And to be honest with you, the defense was the lone bright spot for the Broncos in this loss here. And if you look at the score, 43-16, the score doesn't do it justice as to how good the Broncos defense really played. And we're going to get into how the score got to what it was overall as we continue our game recap. But the Broncos defense in this game, they forced 4 sacks on Kansas City, 3 of them on Patrick Mahomes, 1 on the backup quarterback, and then they forced 1 turnover in that first quarter on the second defensive series. The Broncos recovered a fumble. Drew Lock would then punch it in. He would carry it out on a fake. They'd fake the jet sweep, fake the inside handoff, and Lock would carry it to the outside for a touchdown. The unfortunate thing was that Brandon McManus would then miss the PAT attempt. I don't know why they went to do a hard count 3 times on the play there, but obviously I think that impacted the Broncos' ability to make it. I don't understand going for the hard count on a PAT attempt. Doesn't make sense, and to do it 3 times, to me, I just don't get it. And so the Broncos at that point, they trailed 7-6 overall, and Kansas City's 1 score in that first quarter came on a Clyde Edwards-Helaire touchdown run of 11 yards. The Broncos' tackling was not great on that first defensive series, but they would buckle down afterwards, and they would play strongly. Like I mentioned, 4 sacks, 1 turnover forced on the second defensive series overall for Denver. But the issue at hand in this game, and a big reason why the Broncos lost, was the offense and special teams side of the ball absolutely plagued the team's momentum that they were building. The Broncos offense generated some momentum, but then they'd have a mistake, and then special teams would just come in to kill the overall momentum of the game. And I'm going to get to that here in just a moment. Here's why. Kansas City would lead 10-6. The Broncos would fumble the ball. Melvin Gordon would fumble it after trying to make a reception. He made the reception, got upfield a little bit. The ball got punched out from behind. Kansas City recovered it, but the Broncos defense would hold their own, and they would force Kansas City to punt. Then the Broncos, they'd get the ball back on the offensive side of the ball. It's third down, and you have a 2-by-2 formation. You have the Kansas City Chiefs in man coverage. That's the pre-snap read. Drew Lock is looking at Noah Fant the entire time. Noah Fant runs an out route, or pretty much a route to the flats, and Daniel Sorensen read it the entire time from the moment it began. He intercepted the passes. Kansas City blitzed Drew Lock. He kind of threw it off of his back foot. It's a pick 6 there, and that changes the entire momentum of the game. That right there cuts it to a 17-6 lead for the Broncos, and so they get the ball back. Denver would drive down the field. They'd kick a field goal that would cut the lead to 17-9, but here's where the game changed for the most part. Here's where the snowball effect, pun intended, really began for the Broncos. The ensuing kickoff, the Broncos would kick it downfield to Bryson Pringle. He would take it 102 yards for a touchdown. Poor angles on the kickoff coverage. We'll go back and we'll look at it this week in the Denver Broncos film room, but they didn't take great angles, especially with the directional kick, and that right there snowballed the Broncos into where they were at. That would make the score at that point 24-9. And then things would get worse for the Broncos in the first half. Phillip Lindsay had a very, very strong performance for the Broncos in this game. The Broncos had so much success rushing the football in this game. Lindsay had 9 carries for 79 yards in the first half alone, but would leave the game in the second quarter with a concussion and would not return. And Melvin Gordon and him really shared the load for the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball. The Broncos would rush for over 177 yards on the ground. And if you were to tell me that the Broncos defense in that same regard would have over 4 sacks, 1 turnover forced on Kansas City, and they would hold Kansas City to 0 for 8 on third down conversion percentage and still lose, I would have told you you're absolutely crazy. When you look at the way that this game really weighed out, the real swing came from the offense's poor performances, the turnovers, and also special teams blunders. Yeah, you know, the defense, they gave up that touchdown to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that first quarter there, but outside of that, they did a good job containing that Kansas City Chiefs offense. Then in the second half, Patrick Mahomes would throw a touchdown to Tyreek Hill on an out route, and Justin Simmons couldn't quite bring him down as he kept his arms going. Tyreek Hill was targeted 10 times, and he only had 6 catches, 55 yards. Mecole Hardman, 2 catches, 57 yards, and he really burned the Broncos in that first quarter. But after that, he didn't really make any noise, and the Broncos did a pretty good job as well against Travis Kelce. He had 3 targets, 3 catches, only 31 yards on the day. I was really pleased with the Broncos' defensive efforts overall, but really, as I said, it goes down to offense and special teams plaguing the momentum of this football team in this game. It doesn't get easier now because the Los Angeles Chargers come to town, and they've been having so much success from the quarterback play, it hasn't been translating into wins until Sunday, where they beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. But that offense for the Los Angeles Chargers has been rolling. They've been doing it without Austin Eckler. They've been throwing the football all over. Justin Herbert's been playing good football. And now the Broncos defense, they played really well against Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Now they got to play well this upcoming Sunday against the Chargers. So our focus this week will shift to Los Angeles. But Broncos fans, coming up here in just a moment, I want to get into the good, the bad, and the ugly. I want to put the Broncos under the microscope on the offensive side of the ball. I want to take a little bit of a deeper dive at the Broncos on the defensive side of the ball, what they were able to do, and also special teams. But more importantly, we're going to take a look at Drew Lock and his struggles, arguably the worst game of his professional career in 8 games. We're going to break it down coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, Broncos country, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Like I said, it's our good friends over there at Pepsi. And thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. And this season will be different. And Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. I want to start off here with some of the bad things that we learned from the Broncos' 43-16 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Now they got to focus on the Los Angeles Chargers. Take a look, too. Let's talk about Drew Lock, because this is the big talking point right now in Broncos country. You've got Hot Take Radio. You've got all the people who are ready to give up on Drew Lock after 8 total games. Here's the deal, okay? I don't believe the Broncos should give up on Drew Lock right now. He still has 10 games left this season, in my opinion, to be able to prove that there are things that he can build on that make him the guy going forward. Now, he's got a long road to go here, but you shouldn't give up on Drew Lock right away. Now, if the struggles continue, the mistakes continue, you maybe look at a change during the season, but we're not going to get into the hypotheticals here. Let's talk about really Drew Lock. This was arguably, actually, I don't even think you could say arguably. I think this was Drew Lock's worst game in his career as a professional athlete. He went 24 of 40 passing, 254 yards, 2 interceptions, 1 rushing touchdown. The Broncos had 4 turnovers altogether on the offensive side of the ball, and like I said, you really can't afford to mistake turning it over once against a team like Kansas City, because they do a really good job of turning those turnovers into points for them. So they are really good at converting that. That was the case here, but here's the things about Drew Lock's game that factored into his poor decision-making. Now, overall, I'd say if you look at last week against the New England Patriots, Drew Lock played a pretty good game, minus the 2 interceptions that he threw. For the most part, his decision-making was pretty good. It was on par. Now, there was just something different about Drew Lock this week, and there's something that I would like him to fix. I'd like him to work on, and I'm sure, and I hope, well, I can't say I'm sure, but I do hope the coaches, when they go back and they watch this game film, they drill into his head. He doesn't always have to go for the home run ball every single time. Short yardage situations, you got to be able to convert and you got to be able to move on those. And several times we saw the Broncos take a deep shot downfield on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 4, manageable situations, even a couple times on 4th down. You got to be able to move the chains, keep drives alive here. But one thing in terms of mechanics and overall processing of the field, this was a game where Drew Locke made significant regression in his game and his ability as a professional quarterback. Is that a death sentence in the NFL right now? No, I don't think it should be. There's a lot of Broncos fans that are clearly saying Drew Locke is not the guy. I still don't think you can say that right now through 8 games. His overall record as a starting quarterback is 5-3. The Broncos defense has been very strong in that 5-3 stretch altogether for Denver. You know, he had that really great game against Houston last year, but there's a different regression right now with Drew Locke. And one thing I noticed is in that 5-game stretch in 2019, there were times we saw Drew Locke actually step up into the pocket, stay in the pocket, and make throws. This year, it's a different story. There's times where he's taking himself out of a clean pocket, and then he's running himself into pressure, throwing on the run, errant throws, nothing too accurate, not high-quality throws altogether. That's something that's impacting this Broncos offense. They had the run game going with Lindsey early on, and it was a big blow when he went out of this game. I think Daniel Sorensen will be fine for his hit. I mean, I thought it was low. It was a helmet-to-helmet shot. It shouldn't have happened, and it should have been a 15-yard penalty. But back to Drew Locke, you know, outside of taking himself out of a clean pocket, he does have happy feet. There's times where we're starting to see him regress a little bit by throwing off and drifting off of his back foot. He's made several throws that way as well. Happy feet's one of them. I think regression in overall mechanics and missed reads. We're not seeing Drew Locke process the field in a way that I think he should. He's locking into certain guys, and defenses are picking up on it, and he's going to have to make a change. He's going to have to make it fast. You can't do this against the Los Angeles Chargers. You can't do it against the Los Angeles Chargers. You can't do it against the Atlanta Falcons. And you also cannot do it against the Las Vegas Raiders, the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be a tough stretch for Denver coming up down the stretch here for this season, and they're going to have to grow quickly. So outside of the regression of the mechanics, there's times, like I mentioned, when he takes himself out of the pocket, he tends to look downfield more so than looking for the short and easy completion. The play action bootleg that Denver loves to run, the first initial read should be the tight end that's chipping out to the flats. If he's got a little bit of grass in front of him, you lead him, you throw the ball in front of him, allow him to catch it and get upfield. The first 3 quarters, we didn't see Drew Locke do a very good job of that. He was looking for the deep pass. He was looking for the long ball past 15 yards, and that's not going to cut out. You know, defenses, it's a timing play. When you design it, you're faking that play action. It's designed to be out of your hands quickly within 1-1001. It's 1-1003 by the time we see him releasing the ball, sometimes even more after that. So I think overall, Denver's got to find a way to get Drew Locke into some momentum, get him into some rhythm, and he's going to have to settle things down a little bit. Also, one thing too, I think he's just got a tendency to be deep ball happy, not to mention just going through the failed progressions. There was a time where he had Noah Fant wide open coming underneath. He decided to airmail it deep down the middle of the field. No wide receiver was there, and there were 2 safeties. It could have been intercepted. Those are the things he's going to have to improve on. And I think in the second half, in that third quarter, fourth quarter, look, there were still some mistakes there. The Broncos decided to try a flea flicker. Melvin Gordon threw the ball over Drew Locke's head. We'll get to that here in a little bit. And that was just another turnover. It was 1 of the 4. Drew Locke also threw a pass to KJ Hamler. It was kind of behind KJ Hamler, but it hit Hamler in the hands, popped up, and it was intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu. These are mistakes that snowball into bigger things. And for the Broncos, I mean, defensively, if I was on that bench on the defensive side of the ball seeing that happen, I'm getting frustrated now because the defense is doing their job in this game and the offense is just really shooting themselves in the foot, contributing to Kansas City getting more points, and you can't hang that on the defense. The defense played really good for Denver in this game. And so far, they played really good this season. So Drew Locke, you cannot give up on him just yet. Broncos have 10 more games to be able to see if they have enough to build on. And even if they don't, I just don't know what position Denver would be in for the NFL draft. There's not many great quarterback prospects in here. Denver's not going to be in a position to take a guy like Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to be in a position to take a guy like Justin Fields or even Lance out of North Dakota State. They're not going to be able to be in a position to take a guy like him. And also, he is also a gamble as well. I don't even know if you want to risk doing that. So I don't even want to get into this NFL draft talk because I think that's going to be a talking point a lot of fans want to get into, and I'm not all for that. I'm realistic with now 10 games to be able to see what Locke has. But look, if Locke's struggles do continue on a weekly weekly basis, the missed reads, the interceptions, the turnovers, the Broncos may have to turn the reins over to Brett Rypien. Now, you know, that just might be the reality of the situation where the Broncos are at overall. But getting to our next topic of bad here for this Broncos football team, really Melvin Gordon had a rough day for the Broncos. He's had a rough 2 weeks in Denver. He had a fumble on one of the drives, and luckily the Broncos defense was able to force a punt, but he also had the toss over Locke's head on a failed flea flicker. Not a big fan of the call at midfield when you're running the ball and you're converting. You're also throwing it decently well at that point. You're converting, getting first downs, and then you do that. That leads to a turnover. Easy field position for Kansas City. They go on to score after that. So it's just a snowball effect. And Gordon is just struggling at this time, and he's going to have to play better as well. And I think there's going to be a little bit of momentum for him going into next week against his former team. Right now, the biggest concern is Philip Lindsay going to be healthy for this matchup. That's going to be something we're going to monitor all week long. He's going to be in concussion protocol. He took a nasty shot, as we had mentioned, from Daniel Sorensen. But the Broncos really had things going offensively when Philip Lindsay was running the ball. And then the Broncos, another bad thing is that they go away from what's working and they try to be creative. They try to be too cute and fancy, and it hurt them overall in terms of momentum, and that made a big difference. But so much about the bad stuff. I'm tired of talking about the bad. I think the bad is evident. We've all discussed it. Let's talk about some of the good here for this Broncos football team. Like I mentioned, the Broncos defense turned in a very strong performance. Going back and watching the game a second time, the pressure, the coverage, it was strong minus several plays. There were a couple big plays that Kansas City had, a couple of chunk plays that they had all together, but for the most part, the Broncos defense was a hero of the game for them overall. Because when you look at offense, you look at special teams, those categories were F grades overall. The defense, in my opinion, I give them a B-plus performance against the NFL, one of the NFL's top offenses in almost every major statistical category. Holding them to 0-8 on third down, where they're top in the NFL, that right there was super impressive. Malik Reed once again getting two sacks. Bradley Chubb getting a sack. I just love to be able to see the Broncos doing that. And then Draymond Jones welcomed back in with open arms, getting a sack in his return. He and DeMarcus Walker, their impact was felt in this game for Denver. And I think defensively, Denver's going to be in a good position, and they're going to play some offenses where I think it tailor makes to their style a little bit more. But I was very impressed to see how they played against a very aggressive Kansas City Chiefs offense that likes to test every blade of grass that's on the football field. So with that said, Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get to some of your reactions from the Broncos loss, some realistic takes. What are the fans feeling? What are the fans' pulse outside of the overreactionary takes that we're seeing on social media? We're going to keep it logical. We're going to keep it reasonable here on Lockdown Broncos. Coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, I got to remind you guys about the sponsors of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar and sportsbetting.com. Now with Built Bar, the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever before. They are back. They are better than ever with 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and heck, even apple almond crisp, coconut almond, German chocolate, peanut butter brownie, and even salted caramel are some of the 12 original flavors that Built Bar previously had as well. And the bars, they are delicious. They're like eating an actual candy bar, but it doesn't taste bad like other protein bars there. That's why I love Built Bar, because I'm a big protein guy. I work out. I like to stay healthy. Protein bars are a go-to, but now I found something that tastes like an actual candy bar, and I love it because it's soft and easy to chew. For me, I put it in the freezer, and I sometimes put it in the fridge for a little bit of a crunchier bite, but outside of that, I love Built Bar because Built Bars are healthy. They're great for those who are health conscious like me. They help me lose and maintain weight while also allowing me to indulge in a delicious treat. The bars, they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great for the keto diet and any other kind of diet that you may be on. And you can get a free cooler with purchase today only while supplies last. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. And our good friends over there, sportsbetting.com, they are now live. They're taking action in the state of Colorado, and you have a chance to win money, folks, because sportsbetting.com is passionate about sports, and they're the authority on sports betting. With their own in-house bookmaker, sportsbetting.com is known for their sharp odds and low juice. That means the best prices for you. And for new players, you can get a welcome bonus of up to $1,000 for a risk-free week of sports betting. For those who are registered for sportsbetting.com already, you can take part in some of their new promotions like 2 for Tuesday, where you get to place a bet on any sport on Tuesday and you get equal value in free bets. Or you could do a break a leg. If you like parlays, you could bet a 14 parlay, but you can get your money back if one leg loses. And we all know that overtime can cost us some money when we put it on there. Overtime pay helps you get your money back if your team that you betted on loses in overtime. Sportsbetting.com offers no-hassle bonuses with just a one-time playthrough. So take advantage of their NFL touchdown promotions with can't-lose offers on first touchdown scored in NFL action. Get your action on at the home of sports betting. That's sportsbetting.com/LockedOnBroncos. All right, we're going to get into our therapy session here. We're going to hear from Broncos fans, too. There's a lot of takes on social media. I get it. Social media is momentary. It's emotional. It's reactionary. However, I have to clean things up. Just the constant negativity, the constant takes of fire this person because the players didn't execute this, fire the coach for this reason. It drives me up a wall. I spend a lot of time going through and watching film. I spend a lot of time talking to people inside, outside the organization to be able to get a perspective as to what's going on, and I tend to feel like I try to be the most realistic person when it comes to media coverage of this Denver Broncos team, because I've said it before, this is a year to rebuild, and this team is going through it, and I didn't have the Broncos winning this game against Kansas City. I like the things that I saw. I mean, heck, if you take away those mistakes that the Broncos made, the pick six, the special teams blunders, you take away a couple of those mistakes that you never made in those regards, the turnovers, I don't think this score is going to be 43-16. This could be a 27-20 game. This could be a potential 31-24 game. I mean, you just don't know. There's so many missed opportunities that the Broncos had on offense that they left out onto the field on Sunday in the loss. But you can't play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. So we're going to get some Broncos fan reaction here, and we're going to just let you guys vent. We're going to be realistic. We're going to provide perspective to it as well. Maloney Nick says, one takeaway that I learned from Sunday is that if a young quarterback struggles at all, that Elway drafted, he immediately ain't the answer with the Denver fan base. Gordon looking more and more like a mistake signing. This is a very young team, and it shows, but I still believe the future is bright. I can agree with you on that, Nick. I think Broncos fans are really impatient. And look, I can't say that I judge it, but I think when it comes to the point where the impatience is starting to create this emotional overreaction, then it just gets a little frustrating and have to deal with that. Melvin Gordon, yeah. I mean, the fact that the Broncos paid him all this money, he's making these mistakes, I can see where the frustration boils out for him. I think that if you watched Sunday's game, you came away with the conclusion that the Broncos 110% should have paid Phillip Lindsay. They still could have brought in Melvin Gordon, but they needed to pay Phillip Lindsay. Phillip Lindsay needs to get paid. He's the best running back that this Broncos team has. That said, you still need Melvin Gordon. He's got to work on not having those mistakes. He's got to protect the football, but it's easy to see why the Broncos need a 1-2 punch at running back. There was a time in that game, it was a short stint, where Melvin Gordon also got the running game going as well when Phillip Lindsay went out. They've got to build on that. And if those guys can both stay healthy, I think this is a Broncos team that their identity is going to be on running the football. Dalton Reisner pulling from the left side to the right. Garrett Bowles pulling down from the left side to the right was special. Phillip Lindsay was special. And it's just unfortunate that we only got to see a half of it once again in Broncos country. Sareth Chang says, I miss Mike Shanahan. Also, I think that Drew Lock needs to learn to take what the defense is giving him and not try for homers when a single or double may be just as advantageous. Yes, agree with this, and this goes back to the overall notion that on some of the short yardage situations, the Broncos on third down or fourth down, they're taking shots down deep rather than trying to just pick it up if it's a 4-yard pass. Like, you got to be able to get that. You got to be able to pick up 4 yards on third and four. You got to be able to pick up 2 yards on third and two. There's no need to take a 20-yard shot unless it's truly open, unless you really scheme something up to where the matchup shows that you could take advantage of that. That to me is what I'm looking at for this Broncos offense. They got to get back to it. And the way that the Broncos offense was rolling a little bit did remind me a little bit of a Mike Shanahan offense with the run game. And then Drew Lock did have some moments where he was firing it. I mean, on the Broncos' first touchdown, that pass that he had to Tim Patrick rolling out to his right, throwing it, getting his 2 feet in bounds, that was a throw of beauty, a great play by Tim Patrick as well. And the Broncos lost him in this game as well to an injury, hamstring injury, did not return in the second half. Obviously, it's something we're going to monitor this week as the Broncos report back to practice here on Wednesday, UCL Training Center in Inglewood, Colorado. Mile High Drizzy at Drake Ricard says, Broncos defense can keep up with anybody as long as everyone else plays complimentary football. And I think that's a realistic take about what you can really grab from this Broncos game is that defense, if you take away those mistakes that the offense and special teams made, who knows what type of game this would have been. The Broncos defense was playing really well against Kansas City. They had Kansas City where they wanted him. That's the one thing that I liked as well. Jedi Joshua 58 says, defense showing frustration. Don't know what that means going forward. Just noticed it. Hey, look, this Broncos defense, they're frustrated in the sense where they are on the field, they're making plays, they're doing their job, and the offense isn't helping them out. It's a young offense, battled by injuries at some of the skill positions, but that's not an excuse. The Broncos have the players, they have the personnel to be able to do it, to be able to get things going, and they haven't done so just yet. And I think that's where the frustration is boiling down to. The Broncos are putting them in a position defensively to succeed, and the offense is not able to fit the bill just yet. So these are the things that we're looking at. These are the things that we're noticing as well. Scroll down the timeline here with some of the responses here. Rob Sanchez says, I think the biggest takeaway is that the Broncos have a lot of growing to do. We continue to beat ourselves, and our special teams coach needs to be fired like yesterday. We still have a promising future. Just hope that Drew Lock can be the guy. I'm never on board with just saying that the Broncos or any team for that matter should fire somebody. But look, I think that the Broncos special teams unit has had its fair share of inconsistencies far too consistently, and it's been a big issue now. And look, I think Sam Martin's a pretty damn good punter. I think the Broncos have a great kicker on Brandon McManus. But outside of that, the overall coverage when you're running down and tackling against the return game, the Broncos have struggled. That's really been the issue. Their special teams has continued to make a lot of mistakes this season overall for Denver. They've got to find a way to get it right. They got to find a way to get it back, and they got to get it going. But if these mistakes continue, the Broncos could look for a new special teams coach very, very soon. Steve Cochran, 63, says, take away the pick six and the kickoff return and then the touchdown after the onside kick at the end, and it's a seven-point game. Defensively, the Broncos played a good game. As bad as I want them to beat the Chiefs, they just aren't there yet. The Broncos struggle to make a five-yard pass, and it hurts the offense's flow. That's absolutely true. They got to figure out a way to be more consistent. That's the thing in terms of, I don't know what goes into it, but in terms of rhythm, the Broncos have something that's working, then they go away from it. They go to Noah Fant, you know, in the first half of one game, they won't go to him in the second half. They're having success running the football, and then they go away from it. They go away from the things that work, and that to me, I think, is what you're going to deal with naturally when you're dealing with a young team. Reed Mueller says, ball protection, it's key in any game, but versus the Champs, it's extremely important. Haven't lost faith in Drew Lock, but he needs to step up versus the Chargers and the Falcons and help get the Broncos to 4-4, or I may become skeptical. I think the Broncos have an opportunity here to get two games. They can beat the Chargers. They can beat the Falcons. The Falcons, they have talent on the offensive side of the ball, but they struggle defensively. The Broncos, if they can get the offensive issues going, I think this is a very balanced football team. If the offense can play good football, and if the defense can play the way that they've been playing, they have a chance to sneak up, and they have a chance to beat some teams that maybe not a lot of people think they can beat, especially with some games coming up like the Raiders, like the Saints, some of these offenses that you're seeing, and tough overall teams in general. It's a tough stretch, no bye week for the Broncos. They got to deal with the injuries. They got to deal with the bangs, bumps, and bruises along the way, and if they can come out of this mentally tough, I mean, this is the biggest measure of what I'm looking at, folks. I'm looking to see what the Broncos' response is this week against the Los Angeles Chargers. Are they mentally tough? Are they rebounding after it? That to me is going to be the biggest key in Broncos country. As always, I appreciate you guys for tuning in to today's episode, Lockdown Broncos, our post-game report. Broncos lose 43-16. They dropped it 2-4 on the season after losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think a lot of people had the realistic expectation that the Broncos were going to beat Kansas City, but Denver did some things in that game that made it interesting, that maybe gives you a little bit of hope about what they could potentially do in the future. But they have a long ways to go, especially to be able to win the AFC West. They still have some things they got to iron out, but we'll obviously figure that out along the way. This season, the Broncos have 10 games left, folks, and you can get all the action here, Lockdown Broncos, every single day on your favorite podcast provider, because we bring you daily content, news, and coverage. Also, stay tuned. Tomorrow, we're going to have some Denver Broncos film as the All-22 releases. We're going to take a look at the Broncos' defensive performance against Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City. What did they do so well? How did they get pressure? How was the coverage? And then we're going to take a look at some of the missed opportunities by the Broncos on the offensive side of the ball this week on our Denver Broncos film room on YouTube, Cody Rourke, NFL. But with that said, Broncos country, I will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show. It is Twitter Tuesday. That means send me your questions, the Broncos questions that you have going forward into this Los Angeles Chargers matchup. I will answer them. We'll break it down in depth tomorrow's episode, Lockdown Broncos. With that said, Broncos country, love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Take a deep breath. Better times will be ahead.